Ding, ding. Round two.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Both the U.S. and Britain have bailed out the banks one time. In the U.S., it was the first $350 billion of the TARP money. Britain gave its banks a cash infusion last October. But these efforts haven't exactly had the intended effect to get banks lending again. So today, Britain announced a second bailout package. The government will insure banks against losses on their bad mortgages, but in exchange, the banks have to sign a legally binding agreement to make more credit available. In this country, after Barack Obama is sworn in tomorrow, he'll need to decide how to spend the second half of the TARP fund. More now from Ashley Milne-Tite.
The incoming economic team says there's a big difference between their and the Bush administration's approach to the financial crisis. Larry Summers, director of Obama's National Economic Council, spoke yesterday on CBS's Face the Nation.
Focus isn't going to be on the needs of banks. It's going to be on the needs of the economy for credit, whether it's for housing to prevent foreclosures, whether it's for automobile loans, consumer credit, small business.
Obama's team is keeping quiet on specific details of their plan to help consumers. One possibility is the creation of a government-run so-called bad bank. The idea is to acquire troubled assets clogging the financial system. That would liberate financial institutions' balance sheets, giving them more room to lend. The Obama administration is expected to make an announcement on the economy later this week. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Wall Street has the day off, but there is trading overseas. The European markets started off okay, but now they're showing losses, about 0.5%. In Asia, stocks closed modestly higher. The Dow is at 82.81 after gaining a fraction on Friday. The second World Energy Summit got underway in Abu Dhabi today. An oil-rich emirate might seem like a strange choice for a summit on alternative energy, but when you look closer, it might actually be the perfect choice. Sarah Gardner explains.
Abu Dhabi sits atop 10% of the world's oil, yet leaders there and in other wealthy Mideast emirates are pouring billions into green technology. They're building not only a zero-carbon city called Masdar, but funding research at universities in the U.S. and Europe. Daniel Yergin, author of The Prize, The Epic Quest for Oil, Money, and Power, says even petroleum powerhouses like Abu Dhabi recognize renewable energy is gaining favor.
And so I think they've decided to place a bet on it as part of their overall energy strategy. And given the billions of dollars that they're putting into Masdar and into looking for technology to support, I'd say that's all a sign that they're pretty serious about it.
UC Berkeley's Dan Kamen says Abu Dhabi has the money to lead on clean energy, but it's missing one thing.
You need to develop a intellectual infrastructure.
Kamen says Abu Dhabi has yet to invest in green research at its own universities and think tanks. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, January 19th on Marketplace.org. Scalpers are having a field day with the Obama inauguration. 240,000 tickets were handed out for free, but they're being sold for, well, not free. Danielle Carson has more.
Scroll down the hundreds of ads on Craigslist, and you'll see inaugural tickets being hawked for anywhere from $200 to 10 times that amount. John is selling tickets to the parade for around $300. He thinks of it as economics 101.
This has been commoditized like any ticket to any event is, and this certainly is the Super Bowl of politics, and you have to expect to put aside a little cash for it if you want to be there in person.
And the entrepreneurial spirit shouldn't bring the police to your front door. Michael Abramowitz is a law professor at George Washington University.
There probably isn't much to worry about. D.C. has law. governing sale of tickets in public places, but doesn't appear to claim those who buy tickets through the mail are violating D.C. laws.
10-year-old Jasmine Taylor hopes to barter 3 tickets to the swearing-in in exchange for babysitting services.
I've always wanted to be a president, and so being able to see a president go in office is really exciting.
So while some folks are doling out hundreds, others, maybe including Jasmine, will watch history being made free of charge. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
The inauguration is also an opportunity for marketers. Companies have changed their advertising strategies to focus on, you guessed it, change. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
Hennessy Cognac is selling special bottles marked in honor of the 44th president. Some of the proceeds will fund college scholarships. Starbucks is supporting Obama's call for national service.
So we're asking folks to pledge 5 hours to doing community service.
Starbucks' Rodney Hines says that in return,
they will receive a free tall cup of coffee.
Quaker Oats is giving away oatmeal to the poor. Consumers who buy the product register online. Then
we, along with Share Our Strength, will donate one bowl of oatmeal until we feed 1 million families in need.
That's Quaker spokesperson Shelley Haas.
Quaker Oats is tapping into this feeling of optimism and using that as an inspiration to get people involved with feeding the hungry.
The message from companies to consumers, you're not just spending money, you're making a difference. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Martin Luther King Day is a time to reflect on where we've come and what still lies ahead. We have this report on the state of black-owned businesses in America. Here's Tamara Keith.
The majority of black-owned businesses are small, employing fewer than 100 people and bringing in less than $1 million a year, according to the latest data from the U.S. Census Bureau. So Timothy Adams is an exception. His defense contracting business, Systems Application and Technologies, employs 350 people, operating test ranges for the military.
In my community, I may be looked upon as a big business, but we know, comparatively speaking, I'm still a very small business.
While the defense industry is largely recession-proof, Adams struggles to compete against Fortune 500 companies with their greater capacity. Adams has been in business for 20 years. Still, he says government programs that set aside contracts for small and minority-owned businesses are needed, despite changing attitudes on race.
We're still a long way from being able to say, everything's on an even footing, there's parity, and we can move on. We are definitely moving in the right direction.
According to the National Black Chamber of Commerce, there are 1 million black-owned businesses in the United States, bringing in more than $100 billion in sales. I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
There are reports today that Citigroup wants to sell its Japanese brokerage and investment firms. Citi is denying that, but it certainly wouldn't be out of line with the bank's new game plan. Get smaller, break some things up, raise money. Last week, Citi said it was selling a stake in Smith Barney. Citigroup's losses are huge, and that might be a direct result of the bank getting too big. It tried to become a one-stop shop where you could open a checking account and buy stocks and get insurance.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Our friend Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine is here. Alan, is this a case of Citi getting its hand in too many cookie jars?
It's even worse than you say, Scott. You're right about it being very complicated to manage because there's so much of it. But also, the thing is so big that, as we now see, the government doesn't dare let it fail, and we have now far more companies than we used to have that are too big to fail because the restraints on what companies could do has been lifted, and now we're all going to pay for it.
Yeah, I've heard these behemoths referred to as financial supermarkets, where you can get just about anything you want. Is that era over now?
Boy, I sure hope so, because this is at least now the second time I've seen this era. And in the late 70s and early 80s, we had a batch of these things. And what happens is the produce on the aisles of the financial supermarket rots. And after having assembled this, a company called Sears, you may have heard of, a company called American Express, they decided they were going to go into the financial supermarket business and built up all these things and then broke them up. And Citi has now done the same thing, but on a much, much bigger scale. And the line, of course, is you walk into one of these branches of one of these Jagundo places, and they want to feed you off the prefix menu. They want you to take all of their stuff. I'd rather go a la carte.
So might we be headed to an era now of specialization in the financial industry?
I'm not sure, but the idea of combining every single financial thing in one company generally doesn't work. And then the companies get so big that you and I have to bail them out if they get into any trouble. And meanwhile, the people who put the supermarket together and got all the fees for putting it together get more fees for taking it apart. But the idea that you bought everything from the same place, you buy insurance and you'd buy a second mortgage and you'd buy a first mortgage, you'd buy this and that, and all of your financial needs would be met by one company, that's over, and I'm very happy that it is.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.